You know that feeling when you're trying to find just one piece of information, maybe for a project or something, but it's scattered everywhere. Emails, apps, notes. It's so frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
Now imagine that, but like 1,000 times worse. And instead of, I don't know, missing a recipe, a doctor desperately needs vital patient history. And it's just locked away, stuck behind these invisible
Is
walls.
more than frustrating then, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's actually a critical barrier to getting proper care.
Exactly.
And well, that's what we're doing a deep dive into today, this whole essential topic of interoperability in healthcare.
Right.
We've got this really fascinating case study we're going to explore. It's from Revere Health. They're a big physician group out in Utah. And we'll look at how they really tackled their data integration challenges head on.
Okay, so our mission here is basically to unpack how Revere Health managed to transform the way they connect and share patient data and how that led to, lower costs and genuinely improved patient care. And for you listening, we want to give you a kind of shortcut, right, to understanding these complexities, which can seem daunting, but also the, well, surprising benefits of getting this seamless data exchange right in medicine.
Yeah. And we're pulling all this from a pretty detailed case study about Revere Health's journey. So it's well-documented stuff.
Great. So where do we start? What was the core problem at Revere Health?
Okay. So Revere Health, large multi-specialty group, right? They found themselves in a bit of a tight spot, a critical situation, really. Their existing interface engine, think of it as the central hub that juggles all the different patient data between systems. It was text-based, getting old.
Obsolete, basically.
Yeah, obsolete. And worse, it was unstable. And the vendor, the company that made it, they were ending technical support.
Oof, that sounds bad, like really precarious. I remember Risa Peterson, their lead interface analyst, she put it pretty bluntly. She said, if the data isn't processing through the engine, doctors can't work efficiently. How immediate was that? Like, what did that actually mean day to day for the doctors and nurses trying to care for patients?
Oh, it was profoundly critical. I mean, delays, missing
Yeah.
information. It impacts everything. And look, while Revere Health's situation was maybe acute, it's not unique. Not at all.
Right.
Across healthcare, so many organizations are just drowning in this growing flood of data from EMRs, EHRs, you name it.
Electronic medical records,
Yeah.
electronic health records.
And they don't just need to connect their own internal stuff. They've got to talk to other health systems they're not affiliated with, state registries, these health information exchanges, HIEs, often across different states, too.
Yeah.
It's complex.
So, okay, stepping back from the technical side for a second, why should someone listening right now really care about this beyond just, data integration?
Well,
Because fragment information isn't just some technical glitch, is it? For you, the patient, it could mean a what? Having the same blood test done twice.
exactly. Repeat tests, delays in getting the care you need, maybe even waiting longer for a diagnosis. And ultimately, it often means higher costs
Wow.
for everyone.
Yeah, it's a massive inefficiency. It hits your wallet and it can genuinely impact your health.
Which brings us neatly to Revere Health's breakthrough moment, how they tackled this crisis.
Okay.
They decided to go, as they put it, all in with a new integration platform. They chose something called the Kivera Interface Engine, or QIE.
Going all in on a completely new system, like, wow, that's always a huge leap of faith for any organization. What were the biggest worries, do you think? And what was it about this QIE thing that convinced them it was the right move?
Well, Jay Verdorn, he's a senior developer there. He mentioned that Kivera, the company behind QIE, had already done good work for them. They'd exceeded our expectations for another project. So there was some trust there.
Oh, but that helps.
But the really crucial factor, he said, was the freedom it offered.
Freedom. Freedom from what?
Freedom from being too tightly locked into a single vendor. That's a huge deal. It meant they could more easily connect to all sorts of systems, internal and external, without being totally dependent on one company's roadmap or limitations.
Ah, right. That makes a lot of sense. It's like future-proofing, isn't it? You're not stuck if one vendor falls behind or goes in a different direction.
Precisely. It gives you the power to adapt and innovate.
Verdorn used this really interesting analogy. He compared the situation in healthcare data to the early days of railways.
Oh, yeah.
He said, back then, each railway company built tracks to its own specific gauge, its own standard, which worked fine on its own line. But then, when they needed to connect these different lines, suddenly chaos, nothing matched up. They realized they needed common standards.
That's a great analogy.
And he says that's kind of where healthcare is now, or has been. He called it a sea change in how healthcare is provided, moving away from these isolated tracks towards real integration.
It really is a paradigm shift, a fundamental change.
Yeah.
And the impacts, the tangible impacts of making that change, well, they're pretty significant for Revere Health.
Okay, like what?
Well, for starters, cost savings. Jonathan Keller, he's the director of data analytics and development. He explained how they slashed their spending on outside consultants dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
He says they now do almost all of the work in-house.
That's huge. I mean, consultants can be incredibly expensive. So being able to handle that internally, what does that do for the team itself? Does it like empower them differently, give them more ownership?
Absolutely, it empowers them.
Yeah.
Think about it. You go from needing to call in external experts all the time to building that mastery right within your own team. Mm-hmm. That's a big shift in capability and confidence.
Yeah.
Another massive change was visualization. Remember how their old system was text-based?
Right, just lines of code, basically. Hard to see the big picture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
QIE offered a graphical interface, a visual dashboard. Imagine trying to manage, like, dozens of complex data connections by scrolling through text versus seeing it all laid out visually.
Like a map instead of just street directions.
Kind of, yeah. And this became absolutely critical because the number of integration projects they were handling just exploded. They went from maybe 30 requests a year about 6 years ago to over 100 annually now.
100, wow. With a small team.
With a small team, yeah. They're juggling maybe 15 active projects at any given time. That visual interface was apparently a lifesaver.
I can imagine that text-to-visual shift must have felt like night and day. Was there a specific moment where they just went, ah, this is so much better?
I bet there were many moments like that. And all this increased efficiency, it feeds directly back into a better patient experience and lower costs.
How so?
Well, like we touched on before, if you can quickly pull clinical data from outside sources, say, another hospital the patient visited, you avoid making them repeat diagnostic tests.
Right. Saves time, saves money, less hassle for the patient.
Exactly. It saves the clinician's time, saves the patient time and money, and it helps drive down those overall healthcare costs. Everyone wins.
I remember reading about an example Ron Shapiro, the CTO for Covera, shared. It wasn't Revere, but another clinic.
Mm-hmm.
They apparently went from having to book patient referrals days out because getting the records took forever.
Yeah, the classic problem.
To actually doing same-day appointments. Just because they could suddenly get those patient records within minutes instead of days.
That's transformative. Think about that from your perspective as a patient. Getting seen the same day versus waiting maybe a week or more. Huge difference.
Absolutely massive.
And you know, this kind of efficiency, it ties directly into that bigger trend we hear so much about, value-based healthcare.
Right, where doctors and hospitals get paid more for keeping people healthy, not just for doing more procedures.
Precisely. Instead of just getting paid for every service, the focus shifts to patient outcomes. And you simply cannot achieve better outcomes efficiently without having seamless access to comprehensive patient data.
Mm-hmm.
Good data exchange is fundamental.
Okay, that makes total sense. So we've covered the internal improvements at Revere, the cost savings, the direct impact on patients. But how does this push for interoperability ripple outwards? How does it affect the wider healthcare ecosystem?
That's the next crucial piece of the puzzle. Because improving things just within your own four walls is great, but true transformation happens when everyone starts connecting better.
Okay.
And to do that, fundamentally, everyone needs to be, well, speaking the same language, or at least understanding each other's dialects.
Right.
And that brings us to the ongoing challenge of healthcare standards, things like HL7.
HL7, Health Level 7, right. I've heard of that. It's like the technical rule book for exchanging health data.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It's meant to be a common language, a set of rules, so different computer systems in healthcare can share clinical data, administrative data, all that stuff.
So everyone's supposed to follow the same rules.
Supposed to, yes.
Yeah.
But the challenge is different vendors, different software companies, they often interpret those HL7 rules slightly differently. Like dialects of the same language.
Ah, okay. So System A might send a message that System B doesn't quite understand, even though they're both technically using HL7.
Exactly. And that's where these interface engines, like the QIE Revere adopted, become so vital. They act like sophisticated translators. They can take a message formatted one way, map it, transform it, and send it out in the format the receiving system needs. They bridge those interpretation gaps.
Got it. A universal translator for medical data. That's a helpful way to think about it.
Yeah. And Revere Health really leveraged this capability to deepen their collaboration, especially with health information exchanges, or HIEs.
Okay, tell me more about that, the HIEs.
So take the Utah Health Information Network, UNI. It's a big regional HIE. Think of it as a secure central hub where lots of different healthcare providers in the region agree to share patient information electronically.
How big are we talking?
UINN's massive, like 500 different data sources feeding into it, covering about 5 million unique patients, holding something like 53 million records. It's a huge pool of data.
Wow. Okay.
Now, previously, Revere Health was contributing data to UINN, sending their patient info into the central pool, which is good. That helps build the resource.
Okay.
But now, because of their better integration engine, it's become a two-way street. UINN can actually push relevant information back to Revere Health systems directly into their workflow.
Ah, so it's not just Revere sending data out. They're getting valuable data back from the wider network. How big a deal was that for their doctors?
It was huge. Matthew Hoffman, he's the chief medical information officer at UINN, he talked about this. He said something like, Revere Health was able to contribute data. Now we feel we're able to give back and push information directly to their systems.
Yeah. It's valuable to their physicians, yeah.
Exactly. He even gave a concrete example. They did a data quality review and found that for some patients, UINN actually had 30% more high-E data on blood pressure than Revere Health did in their own system.
30% more just on blood pressure. That's significant. That shows how much crucial information might live outside a single clinic's records.
Absolutely. It just paints a much more complete picture of the patient's health when you combine these sources.
Right.
And it doesn't stop with the HIE.
Yeah.
Revere can now also exchange information directly with state departments of health. They can pull in discrete data, think specific documents, lab results, straight into their EMR system.
Building that better picture of patient care piece by piece.
You got it. It really ladders up to that vision Jonathan Keller laid out. The more systems we can integrate and the more data we can bring in and feed out to other systems, the better.
Yeah.
It's all about creating that connected web of information for better care.
So looking forward then, Revere Health clearly isn't stopping here. What are they doing next?
Yeah, they're definitely proactive. One big thing is they're becoming fluent with HL7's FHIR standard. That's FHIR.
FHIR, right. Mm-hmm. Fast healthcare interoperability resources. That's supposed to be the newer, more modern standard, isn't it? More web friendly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Think of it as, well, it's designed to be more like how modern web apps share information using APIs. It lets you exchange smaller, more specific pieces of data more easily,
yeah.
Which is great for things like mobile apps or more targeted data requests.
Okay. So less clunky than older standards, maybe.
Generally, yeah.
Yeah.
More flexible.
Uh-huh.
And getting fluent in FHIR allows Revere Health to jump into pilot programs, for example, with state registries, like for cancer tracking or immunization records. Mm-hmm. They're positioning themselves right at the forefront of using these newer standards.
That makes sense. It seems like their initial success has kind of fueled more ambition, maybe raised expectations internally.
Oh, definitely. You see this a lot.
Yeah.
Success breeds more demand. Their clinicians, having seen what's possible, now expect even tighter integrations. And that push helps drive further improvements, like making it easier to swap patient records with other big players in their region, like Intermountain Healthcare. It creates this positive feedback loop.
A snowball effect, almost.
Yeah.
The better it gets, the more people want it to do. What does that tell us about how innovation happens in this space? Is it always driven by crisis, or can success itself be the driver?
That's a great point. I think this snowball effect shows something really powerful.
Yeah.
Yes, sometimes crisis forces change, like their old system dying.
Right.
But once you achieve some wins, once you demonstrate the value of better integration, it fundamentally shifts expectations. People see what's possible and they start asking, well, why can't we connect this system too?
Right.
Or can we get that data faster? Success itself becomes the catalyst for the next wave of innovation. It builds momentum.
So looking back, it's kind of ironic, isn't it? That looming disaster, the obsolescence of their old interface engine, actually turned out to be a massive blessing in disguise.
It really seems that way. It forced their hand, yes, but it pushed them towards a solution that gave their interface team way more control, dramatically improved workflows, and just massively expanded their ability to exchange patient data.
Yeah. It was the catalyst they needed, even if it felt like a crisis at the time.
Absolutely. What started as a potentially crippling problem became the spark for this whole transformation. And the results, efficiency, cost savings, better data for clinicians, ultimately better patient outcomes, they speak for themselves.
Okay, so let's recap the journey. We saw Revere Health move from being stuck with these frustrating data silos, facing an obsolete, unsupported system,
A really precarious spot,
to achieving this much more seamless information exchange, which led directly to lower costs, much better workflows for their staff, and demonstrably better patient outcomes because doctors had the information they needed.
A really impressive turnaround, driven by tackling that core interoperability challenge.
It really is.
Yeah.
So it leaves me thinking, we've seen these clear, proven benefits of breaking down data barriers in healthcare. Where else could this apply? Thinking about your daily life, even. What other industries, what other areas are still stuck with their own version of disconnected railway tracks?
Mm-hmm.
Where could truly connecting disparate systems, breaking down those information walls, lead to similar transformations?
That's a really interesting thought to leave people with. Education, finance, government services. There are probably more parallels than we realize. Something to definitely mull over.